I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Now, last time in the book of Ruth, we looked at verse 11 of chapter 4, and we've been reading about the Redeemer. The Redeemer, of course, in this book, the book of Ruth, is none other than Boaz. Boaz was a man who had, we could say that he fell in love at first sight. He saw Ruth, and from that point on, he wasn't the same. And maybe that's happened to you in this life, I don't know. But Boaz actually fell in love with Ruth, and he became her kinsman redeemer. And that reminds me about Jesus Christ and God the Father. And it says in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, that God created, and he was in love with man, you know, from the beginning. And then later on we know that, well, man messed up and sin came into the world, according to the Bible. And but Jesus didn't give up on us. God didn't give up on us, because John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that word world there means you and I. That word world means people. And he loved us so much, we could say it was love at first sight. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to give us life. He sent him to be our Redeemer, just as Boaz became the Redeemer of Ruth. And last time I mentioned the fact of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And this book is so beautiful because it talks about where our Redeemer would come from. Now, we know that Boaz was a Redeemer who he was Ruth's Redeemer. But what about our Redeemer? In Micah 5, 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And we keep reading and studying the Word of God, and we see that Bethlehem, where the Messiah was born, is in the south, near Jerusalem, in the territory of Judah. The other Bethlehem, there's two Bethlehems, by the way, and the other Bethlehem is in the north, near Nazareth, in the territory of Zebulun. Well, the most famous Bethlehem is located in the hill country, approximately 2,500 feet above sea level. And this is of Judah, of course, in Judah. It's situated on the main highway, so it was known variously as Ephratah. Genesis 35:16 talks about that. And Bethlehem Ephratah, and Bethlehem Judah, the city of David, according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. And the Bethlehem of Zebulun is now a ruin. This is not the Bethlehem of Ephratah. It's now a ruin. The Bethlehem of Zebulun is now a ruin, and it was located about 6 miles northwest of Nazareth. It's mentioned specifically only once in the Bible among a listing of cities within the tribal allotment of Zebulun during the time of Joshua. You read about this in Joshua chapter 19, verses 10 through 15, 10 and 15, and you say, well, why is that important? Well, it's rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know these things. We need to understand that there's nothing accidental with God. He tells us everything if we just want to look for it and read it. He gives us everything that we need to know in the Scriptures. Well, in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible goes on to say, "And let thy house be like the house of Pharaohs." And remember now, a blessing had been pronounced upon Boaz and Ruth. A blessing that would be born. Now, notice it says that in, we read this the last time about the blessing, and there was a blessing that Boaz would be honored in Ephratah. He would have kids, and they would be honored like Rachel and Leah. Ruth would have children like Rachel and Leah, and continue on with the bloodline of Israel. And this is so important that we need to realize that. And the pronounced blessing here, a blessing is continued in verse 12 as we've read here. And let's read it now. and let thy house be like the house of Pharaoh, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. A blessing's being pronounced here. And it's continued on. The blessing continued in verse 12 from verse 11, and the Lord's seed would come from this young woman. And once again, Micah 5:2 talks about that. As we look in verse 13 of chapter 4, Ruth, it says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Well, the blessing's starting to come about here because she had a son now, and the birth took place. A son is born. Well, God's command is honored here. He told us back in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, chapter 9, verse 1, and verse 7, in Genesis 35, 11, be fruitful and multiply. And Ruth and Boaz are listening to God. They're listening to what God has said for them to do. Thank the Lord, Boaz and Ruth observe the command of God to be fruitful because Ruth 4:13 says, she bare a son. Now in verse 14 it says, and the women said unto Naomi, this is the mother-in-law now, remember, said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Boaz is carrying on the bloodline now. God has allowed Ruth to bear a son at this point. And Naomi here is blessed. The women of Bethlehem pronounce a blessing upon Naomi. Not only did they pronounce a blessing upon Ruth and Boaz, but they pronounce a blessing upon Naomi. And they seem to be saying, these women, they seem to be saying to Naomi, God did not leave you, but has blessed you with a kinsman. The name of Boaz would be famous in Israel. In verse 15 it says, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. They're speaking, of course, of the son who was born here. And we see here life. In essence, the kinsman Boaz had given Naomi new hope, a new outlook on life. The new hope and outlook was the son. The son was born. The son born had given her a new reason to enjoy her old age. As we keep reading here, we see that the Gentile Ruth was used to bear the son. You read this, as we study about Ruth, we see that God blessed her so much. In verse 4 of Ruth chapter 1, it says, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. This was this is where Ruth came from. But in spite of where she was born, God used her. God blessed her. And in spite of where we're born into sin, but God can bless us if we'll let Him. And Ruth let God bless her because she chose to go the right way. In Ruth chapter 4 and verse 16, it tells us what Naomi did with the child. It says, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Naomi's life was looking up. She was a grandma now. In verse 17 it says, and the women, her neighbors, gave the baby a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Well, the child's name, and the women of Bethlehem gave the child the name, and the child's name was Obed, the grandfather of David. Now, the meaning of Obed is servant of God, a worshiper, follower. So it's scriptural what the name that they gave the child. And we see here the family now. Verse 18 goes on to say, now these are the generations of Phares. And Phares begat Hezron. And let me remind you that sometimes we kind of fall asleep when we're reading about these genealogies, but they're very important because as we read this, we see that it leads up to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And looking back and forward, we see this. Phares is the father of Hezron. And Phares is the great, 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 great grandfather of David. Genesis 38, 29 and 1 Chronicles 2, 4 talks about that. Verse 19 of Ruth 4. And Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab. And this is lineage. Hezron is the father of Ram. Hezron is the great, 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 great grandfather of David. First Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 9 and chapter 5 and verse 3. And then we keep reading that Ram is the father of Amminadab. Ram is the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of David, 1 Chronicles 2, 10, and verse 20. And Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. Here's your lineage again. Amminadab is the father of Nashon. Amminadab is the great-great-great-great-grandfather of David, 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 10. And I'm not finished yet. The nation is the father of Salmon. Nation is the great-great-great-grandfather of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 11. And now we're down to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 21. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. Here's the lineage. Salmon is the father of Boaz. Salmon is the great-great-grandfather of David. And Boaz is the father of Obed. And Boaz is the great-grandfather of David. And now, listen to this. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 22. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Here's the lineage. Obed is the father of Jesse. Obed is the grandfather of David, and Jesse is the father of David. The Bible says about David, he was a man after God's own heart. Acts chapter 13. And I've listed these names to show that nothing is left to chance where God is concerned. God has a plan, and His plan has been from the beginning, Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Do you see how this leads up to the birth of Christ? Jesus Christ from the seed of David. Jesus Christ came into this world. "Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little and small among the nations, yet out of thee shall he come forth." And who would come forth? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. God's Word is so good. God's Word is so full of promises to us as human beings. And might I say to you that God leaves nothing to chance. He wants you to know Him as Savior. And especially as we think about the near kinsman that we've been reading about in the book of Ruth, Jesus Christ is the one who can redeem. He wants to redeem you, and He can redeem you because He is the one who came to seek and to save those who were lost and to save people. He's your Redeemer, and He's keeping you saved. You don't keep yourself saved. He is the one who saves us and keeps us saved. He's the one who gives us the eternal life. He is our Redeemer. We don't redeem ourselves. He is the one who redeemed us. And we need to fall on our faces and thank God daily and say, "Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for allowing me to be the person you would have me to be. And one day I'm going to see you personally. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.